Here we go.
Got it.
Let me do the welcome to Enlightened Radio's Recovery Cafe Radio. I just renamed it a little bit. But and our host, James Boyd, here for you. James, take it away.
Yes. I am your host, James Boyd. Welcome to Recovery Cafe Radio. Yeah, we're gonna bounce it around a couple of sections and see how it sticks.
Whatever.
But anyway, yeah. Welcome everybody. And we're gonna be talking about a couple of things tonight, John. Hopefully, we're gonna do some speed talking and have people thinking and doing some research, basically. A couple of questions that I want to put out there about drug addiction and what's your perspective on drug addiction? That's my first question, and I guess I'm going to be answering it as well. But John, you can chime in if you want to. My perspective on drug addiction here in the United States, because I've never been addicted abroad except for when I was in Vietnam. But my perspective on drug addiction is that it's a fight, and it's a fight that can be won. We can win it. And so that is my perspective, and that's how I view substance use disorder. However, that's just one particle of it. You have other things, mental illness. Then you got the health, the physical health, declining of the health. And so you have to consider all those things. So my perspective is that it's a horrible disease to have, but it's curable. You know, it can be cured. It can be managed, first of all. And I think because it's an inside job, it's cured when you say it's cured, when the person, you have the ability to cure it. There are steps, there's a process, and it's not a simple process. It's not easy to sit with. And for me, when I finally decided to believe that substance use disorder and the manifestations of that it's a disease. It's characterized as a disease. And I believe in the science of addiction, what's going on holistically about it. What are the steps that can be taken, you know, to give you that balance? But your belief system has a lot to do with it. What do you think, John? What's your perspective?
Well, for me, the things I've been addicted to or habits, cigarettes, marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, here comes right side back in again, were usually associated with the relief of stress. And
that's
mental, but not physical pain.
That's hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Huh? Welcome. You're muted. That might be Bree. Is that Bree?
It might be Brightside. Isn't that one of her names?
I think it is. That is Bree, let's say. It's from
she's
overdose.
Trying to get in.
Mm-hmm. Get her in. Get her in.
Anyway, that was my personal experience. So I think alienation, you know, which just seems to be endemic in modern society. You know, there's no place to go. You know, you're at the mercy of working for wages if you can get the jobs. And sometimes those are long range jobs, but these days, mostly not. And, you know, so you're in and out of, all kinds of situations. You've probably moved away from your family, if your family is still intact enough to, you know, have that name. Mm-hmm. It's pain relief.
Yeah.
And so I always start from the assumption that, you know, if there's less pain, there'd probably be less drugs. I mean, I know I got started looking at at things like that while my marriage was failing, my first marriage, you know. And right, I mean, you're kind of desperate emotionally, you know. I mean, you're raw, you know. You get an opportunity for a, you know, intense experience, whatever, something really different, something to take that off your mind, you know, or put it to bed, or although
take away the pain,
etc. So yeah, I think pain reduction probably a big part of ultimately solving it. I mean, both on a personal level and on a social or other, you know.
Yeah, but you know, euphoria, those things that opioids especially attach themselves to. Hello, Bree. That's Bree. Hi.
Hello. Please identify yourself. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Put it in the chat. Let me see. Oh, she's got off again.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
So we've been... Hey, man, listen. That's one. That's one.
Just apply it.
That's one more than we had.
That's like you got a bug on your windshield, you know. It gets bigger.
Yeah. So we're not gonna veer off course, man, because this is a really good topic for me anyway. And I appreciate you, John, humoring me like that, because you got a way of tying everything into the economics, and that is right on point for me. So you keep at it, man. And I'm looking at my perspective being enlightened. Right. Because when I talk about one part of it, man, you step right in there. Because,
you know, people, here's an interesting psychology thing. I listen to the media a lot of different. Well, I don't listen to some of the major media, but even on the media I like, I hear this thing. Well, good economic news this week. Disinflation is taking place.
Disinflation. Oh,
and, okay. And so it turns out, of course, that most of the people who hear that phrase think you mean inflation went down,
mm-hmm.
or prices went down, you know? And the answer is no, that doesn't mean that. It means it went up slower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disinflation. It was still inflation, but it was a little less.
It slowed down.
Going up. But see, in the polls with people say, you know, our major issue is inflation. And some of these political analysts then say, well, if their real issue is inflation, why aren't they giving President Biden more credit for his disinflation?
And of course,
you know, I mean, you can call it disinflation, but at the meat counter in the grocery store, it's still a higher price.
It's a higher price.
Right. It didn't jump a dollar, but it jumped 25 cents. You know, I mean,
yeah, it's a higher price.
You know, so people say,
is that like an alternative truth?
I don't know. It's one of those, you know, touchy little words that turns out to mean something different than perhaps you might think.
You're supposed to look the other way, John.
Right.
For that dime, you're supposed to look the other way, I guess.
That guy that stabbed you with a with a kitchen butcher knife. I'm just stabbing you, you know, with my nail sharpener. You know, I'm just.
Yeah, it's not the knife. It's not the. But you stabbed. You still cut me.
That's right, man. Yeah. It hurts.
It hurts. And here we go. Opioids. It hurts. Got to take away the pain. Got to do something to take away this pain. You know. And you know what I wanted to talk about, John? I had an epiphany for me. I guess you could call it like. When did the entitlement programs begin? And what was going on during the times when you had to pay a lot of money to go into a drug rehabilitation center? And you really had to pay a lot of money. Now these entitlement programs, they fund a person's stay in the rehab, right? That's how Medicaid and Medicare. Yeah. So when
Lyndon Johnson.
When did they start the entitlement programs and why?
Lyndon Johnson. The Great Society. Anti-poverty program. That's when it started. Well, I mean, Johnson was a, what do you call it? A lot of things. Mm-hmm. But most of all, he was, he worshipped Franklin Roosevelt. And he worshipped the way that Franklin Roosevelt wielded power. Okay, let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. And he had a passion, as it turns out, despite being a very corrupt individual in terms of Texas politics. Mm-hmm. It turns out he was effectively raised by Mexican Americans. Nobody knew that. He never told anybody that. He had a single mother that had to work all the time, and he was raised. He was left, as well as I think one of his siblings, with a neighboring Mexican family. Okay, who had several children, you know, and also had a way to raise a little bit of food, a little more property, you know, than. Mm. His mother had, and he was raised by these people. And when he got to that place of power in mm-hmm. the Senate, and all them racist crackers, you know, all over the Dixiecrat South, right, running the Democratic Party in most of the states, right, and people he slap on their back, and you're like a daddy to me. That's what I mean. You know, and they're I want you to daddy. Imagine the state of mind of those sons of bitches. The day that Lyndon Johnson tied them up in a knot and force them to swallow the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, you know, the whole thing. I mean, the redistricting all over the South. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, to them, it was like they were Caesar and Brutus just came up to them and put it, you know, right where it hurts. And, you know, there was something about the fact that he did that. And he waited half a lap. I mean, he supported most Democratic things, you know, I mean, for better or worse, you know. But man, he waited half a lifetime to take revenge on them bastards. And he did. I mean, so just weird. Just weird, that guy Johnson. And so fucking corrupt. I'm sorry, excuse me. So corrupt. I mean, bought and paid for, bribed. I mean, just stuffed ballot boxes. You're muted. You're muted.
Which came first, Medicaid or Medicare?
Medicare came first, I believe. I can look it up, but Medicare came, I think, came first.
And because Medicaid.
Medicaid was part of the anti-poverty program, but remember that in the beginning, it had all, in order to get through Congress in the beginning, it had all these qualifications, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, if you were pregnant, as long as you could provide evidence of being pregnant, you know, you could get covered for anything. That you could get regular coverage of some kind, mm-hmm. okay, not just prenatal or pregnancy coverage. But the minute you were no longer pregnant, or your child was born and no longer, I don't know, 6 months old, you were cut off. Okay. And no matter what happened, you had to submit all this paperwork related to your assets, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, it was enough red tape that would, the red tape itself would prevent half the people from ever even bothering to go through the hell of applying for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Obama came along and radically improved it. He made it really the same as Medicare. Mm-hmm. He really did. Although it has a little weakness, one of them, Lukey, my dog,
yeah,
one of them,
that's, Thor's brother, Loki. Oh, you got Loki over your house.
Anyway,
yeah,
forgot my point. But anyway, my point was, states can vote to not fund it at the level that the federal government started funding it when Obama passed the bill. Okay, I think they had the option to opt out after 3 years, and some of them did. Okay. But, you know, Biden is still paying the bills for all of it, I believe. And in West Virginia, one thing you can thank Manchin supported making sure that it was kept at the Medicare level in West Virginia. So that's Joe one Manchin. Good thing that he did do.
Joe Manchin.
You have other issues with Joe, but as you know,
I thought he was going to try and run for president.
Well, he was testing the waters. I don't know what, I haven't heard recently what the that outfit, No Labels, it was called, is. Yeah. I don't know what they're really going to do.
I met him at a breakfast for the United Way. Yeah, he had his plaid shirt on, button all the way up. Yeah. He's flipping pancakes.
Button all the way up.
Yeah, he was flipping pancakes. Talking about, my name is Joe.
You know.
So, yeah. Anyway.
You're trying to button it all the way up, Joe. Why don't you put the tie on?
And I also met at the Purple Iris. You know where that place is, right?
Over in
Martinsburg.
Davis?
Purple Iris.
Oh, okay. Not the purple onion. Over in Davis, there's a purple onion.
Newt Gingrich. And he's out there. I put on my face. Yeah, Newt is a hoot.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know. You know, you're hanging out with some pretty shady people there.
You know, I rolled up on him, man. I rolled up on him and took me a photo op.
Yeah, right. I'm sure he was the one that tried to take on Clinton, and Clinton outsmarted him. That Bill was a pretty smart feller, but I think he set in motion a whole bunch of stuff in Europe that's now coming back to bite us. But
yeah, so. Back to the drug scene and these entitlement programs, man. I want to talk about the behavior, because it's evolution. It has evolved into a narrative that has entitlement all over it, and I guess that's what it means. And some folks you know, I guess it's your insurance. That's your insurance. That's your insurance, your Medicaid, Medicare card. That's your insurance. It's insurance. What is insurance? And that word itself, man, is like, I don't
You
know.
Say, you have a system for saving money for a rainy day for people that don't have the ability to save because they don't make enough money to save. That's what, you know, and I mean, and even then, you know, they don't insure everything that you probably think they insure. You know, I mean, the business model of an insurance company is to deny claims. I mean, otherwise, they don't make any
money. But this is a different kind of insurance company, though. And Medicaid is a different kind of insurance company.
Well,
it pays a lot of claims. Because I claim I'm sick. I claim I don't feel good. I claim I'm claiming that it's a claim. Yeah.
Bree wants to come in. You want to let her in?
Yes. Yes. That's Bree Lachey.
I think you can do it if you're.
Okay,
I'll let her in. Okay. I just put her in. She calls herself Dolan.
Let's hey, this is Bree.
Hello?
Bree trying to get in. Now we finally, you're muted.
You're muted. Muted.
Ah, there we go. Yes.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
Yes. So John Case, finally meet Miss Bree.
Oh,
Bree
Lachey. I think you were on our program a couple of years ago. I don't know how long time passes.
Tell him the story. Bree said we are the...
Hold on, I'm going to walk outside so I can hear you better.
Okay.
I'm at work.
Oh, okay. We were just talking about work.
So I tried to get on for a little bit, but I was under my daughter's Zoom, and I was like, why do I have an anime picture?
Yeah,
oh,
right.
So that was the bright.
Yeah, picture. That was my daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I wonder who
so
that
John,
was.
So, John, remember when we were trying to get the overdose film person?
Sure. Okay, my boss was like, what are you doing?
And we kept having...
All right, don't get fired. Don't get fired.
So anyway, what do you guys want me to talk about while I'm here for a minute?
talk about what you're doing now, Bree.
Oh yes, so I have just become a member. I'm working my way up to be a leader of Saving Sparrows. It's an organization that is anti-human trafficking. Actually prayed for this for 7 years, and God has just really opened the doors. And even with my violent record, like, this guy from the Secret Service has actually just brought me right on in. And he goes out and actually rescues children from Pakistan, from Greece and Haiti. They got safe houses like all over the place, and we're raising money for safe houses, food, water, clothing, you name it. And right now I'm trying to get, my goal is to have a safe house on my land at some point, because there's just such a need. And right now, like, they have an opportunity to rescue 40 children because they know where they're at, but they don't have a place to put them at the moment because all the safe houses are currently full.
Wow.
And I'm sure, like, during this current war, there's going to be even more that are abducted and sold into the trade and whatnot. But I don't know. I guess we're kind of waiting to see. And I got to be mentored. And I'm going to be speaking in church this Sunday about it. And then next Sunday as well.
Wow, that is amazing. Sweet. Hey, you God got your life. He's calling you. So tell me, what is the mentoring? What is that about?
They got to train me to, you know, I got to have all the right information and everything, and I got to go out and, like, just raise awareness and stuff as of right now until I kind of gain more trust, and then I should be able to go actually on rescue missions with them to get kids out of bad situations. And
Wow. Oh, that is so exciting. So this interview is right on time. I finally got back in touch with you, Bree. So John,
I know, it's been
remember,
a while, right?
Yeah. John, remember we kept having the technical difficulties when I was coming down to your house, and we kept trying to get Mary Sue and Bree That's when they had just finished the overdose documentary.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get that interview, man. And we, so Bree and I, well, Bree named us. We are the, what did you call us? Of technical difficulties? We the rock
the
stars.
The technical difficulties or something.
We could not get it done, but finally here we are. So God knows what he's doing.
Yes. So, so are you guys able to do it at an earlier hour on Thursdays, or do you just typically just start on at 5 o'clock?
Well, it has to do with James's work schedule, actually.
No. Well, we can do it whenever John, we can do the interview whenever you're, because John would do it any day. It doesn't have to be Thursday. And you're off on Mondays, right?
Yeah, I'm off Monday.
Yeah, if you want to do it on a, I mean, we have currently a show on Mondays at 10 and at 12:30, and they go each about an hour. So, but any other time on Monday is good, because I it's easy for me, because then I get the shows all produced in one day. Now I have my new automation.
My man.
I'm cooking with gas now. So,
I'm glad I'm getting that, because I was wondering, John, if you were willing to do that. Because Monday, I get off work at 2.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
So when I get home after 2. So what about like 3:30 or 4 on Monday?
All right. Because that works really great for me, because it would free up all of Thursday. So I would be able to do other things besides, you know, radio shows. That'd be great. You know, and
I have a lot to
hear
talk
more.
About.
Yeah,
I have a lot to talk about, but my boss is probably going to be really mad, so I better go back.
Don't make him mad. Don't make him mad. No. We'll set it up. Okay.
I'll be in touch.
Okay. All right. Take
care.
Later. All right. Thanks for calling in. Good luck on your job. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah.
Bye. Hey. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Wait on it, right? Yeah, when I was coming down, remember we couldn't get hooked up because one lady was, I think she was in Ireland at one point trying to call in.
Yeah, that didn't work. I remember.
No, that didn't work too good. But now the lady that did the documentary, that actually did the filming, she's going to come on. As soon as she find out that Bree done hooked in here, because Bree was her star. And two of the people that's in the documentary overdose since it was made.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh God.
So. So we're gonna I know you haven't watched it all the way through.
No.
But you'll get a chance to do it. You'll get interested, because she's a very interesting young lady that came
Is she? I have anxious feeling about the group that's the groups that are really into this. What you call it? Abandoned children? No.
Yeah. What do you call them?
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Yeah, those are dangerous people too, man.
Well, they are, but, you know, did I ever tell you? I remember before Pete Doherty died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
I never made friends with that many, you know, law enforcement people, but I did like him. And anyway, I was talking to him, and I asked him, I says, you know, I got people when I was involved in the Ministerial Association at in Shepherdstown. From the Quakers, one of the things that people that came up every second or third month was somebody from the community. I can't remember what church they were from, but they're the former State Department people, which was a little weird, but retired, and now they were very active in a national campaign to stop human trafficking. And they wanted donations, not too much unlike what Bree was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing nobody wants to say no to, right? On the other hand, you know, it wasn't the group that was doing it wasn't Nobody had heard of it before.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but everybody's modest. I said, well, let's look into it. You know, mm-hmm. and so I called. I happened to see Pete Doherty soon after, and I asked him. I said, "How big a problem in Jefferson County is human trafficking, especially among children involved?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "Well, it's supposed to be a big problem across the country. I don't see much of it here. I mean, I've seen lost children." And there is a runaway, but I haven't run into any that haven't been found, you know, recently, he said, which I thought, okay. So someone's raising money for a problem that might be big somewhere, right, but not here. And so why are you raising money for it here? You know, see, that kind of stuff bothers me.
Right.
Because I suspect that, I mean, I've seen instances in the past where scams, you know, that are kind of a little bit connected to something real, but actually they got another agenda they're raising money for.
And, good point. Good point.
I wonder sometimes. Sorry, just my old age.
That's all right. Better to err on the side of caution. That's a good point.
Like, for example, this thing that now Israel is Lukey. Israel is going to crush Hamas. I think that the people who are running Hamas calculated this response in advance. This is not something they were not expecting as a consequence of what they did. The guy Netanyahu, he might be stepping into a trap.
Yeah.
And if he does, I promise you, he'll take us with him. Because I watched yesterday as Biden made a 190,000% commitment.
Yes, he did.
Biggest aircraft carrier in the forest is headed over there.
He's headed over there that way. As we speak, he said, he looked into that camera, he said, don't.
Yeah, don't. Guy, don't, you know, or we'll kill you, right? Matter of fact, you know, that whole 10-to-1 thing, you know, we'll kill 10,000 of you, or you kill 1,000 of us, and we'll kill another 100,000 of you, and then what?
Wars, man.
We'll admit Israel as the 51st state. I don't know. Yeah, I guess they'll want more than two states. They'll want to be three states or something, you know. But
this is bad. This is bad, man.
Mm-hmm. Carnage. God. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. My guess has come and gone, so I'm good.
It's been all right. Good I'm going to have to.
I want you to get ready to go. Yeah.
I got to pick up Carol.
Pick up your madam. That's right.
Anyway, I don't know. We got to do something about this, the stalemate in the country.
Yeah. Around what?
Around the whole ball of wax. I mean,
I agree.
It's not dead yet, but I mean, these guys are like getting ready to join the, what's that famous Charge of the Light Brigade?
Charge of the Light Brigade.
Flying 600. All of whom perished.
So do you think that war will ever make it to our shores? We already got war inside here.
We do. We got murders.
Yes.
Think of the murders. That's a kind of, and the heroin and the dope deaths, you know, and the people dying in prison. You know what one of those Hamas guys said this morning? He says, they're going to kill me in prison, or they're going to kill me holding a sword. I'm going to go with the sword.
Mm.
That was his statement.
I don't know, man.
I don't either. I don't either.
That's not me, man. I don't see it that way. Not at all, man. I mean,
well, I'm just, you're
suicide,
but that's the kind of thing you're dealing with, right? I mean, imagine the conditions living there in Gaza. Well, I mean, it's not too different than parts of the United States, you know, especially in parts of the past. You know, on the other hand, if you live there your whole life, and it's just one every 10 years, there's a kind of pogrom, you know, and man, you know, next generation comes along. Oh, you tell them, yeah, we tried to overthrow it. We tried to do something about that. You know, we tried. Oh, yeah. And the kids all say, yeah, well, no thanks.
Yeah.
We're going to turn it over again. I mean, right?
The same guy that's a lot of extremes. People are going through a lot of extremes, man, to get rid of the pain.
And yeah, and this kid, this young guy who was a captain of some kind of Hamas, he was in Qatar, mm-hmm. whatever they call the country,
Qatar,
and he was saying that the lifestyle, the current conditions of life are just intolerable, okay, mm-hmm. and that 20 years ago, when Hezbollah was doing the whole thing on one of the other borders, you know, they killed thousands and thousands of people. Within 5 years, the whole thing was rebuilt, and that twice the size.
Twice
you know,
the size.
I mean, all of a sudden, all these young people that have no future whatsoever, they just, you know, they're ready to roll. You know, I mean, the cult. You can see how that kind of culture can develop, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen it in this. We've seen it in this country, you know. Yeah, you get so bad.
I see it on a very small scale within the facility where I work. They build this hierarchy.
I remember when I was living in Echo Park, just, you know, and I was driving down to Watts every day, you know, and the whole place blew up. You know, one incident of a guy beating the crap out of this guy, okay, and all of a sudden, 20 city blocks, you know. Everybody's tearing it apart, tearing it down, just tearing it down. It's a piece of shit, so tear it down. You know, especially little businesses that are not owned in the community, owned by somebody else or some other, a Greek or what was the other people? Koreans were always setting up these little liquor stores.
Yep, John.
I mean, you know.
I say, man, yeah.
It's easy to understand.
Yeah.
If you live there, you understand what happened. It's not even complicated.
Yeah, because it happened to you.
You know, so I mean,
it happened to you. That's why you understand clearly.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway,
that's why I was telling. They asked me at work. So, well, Mr. James, how come you know so much about this stuff? I said, because it happened to me. That's why I know so much about it.
That's a good point.
It happened to me. That's why I know so much about it. You know, damn. You know, stuff that happened to you, you know a lot about it. All
read about
misery.
All these home health care workers in California?
No, they walked off the job.
40,000. 40,000. Yeah.
Oh man! So
it's home healthcare and hospitals. You know, so it's
their family's gonna have to come in and take care of their loved ones. Huh?
I bet you
that's
the union to
do it.
Nurses. I bet you the union nurses set up clinics. I know they're gonna do that in San Francisco, but that, you know, you can't put people through what they've been put through since the pandemic, and then the inflation.
Hmm.
The working conditions is just too harsh.
Yeah, people are having meltdowns, man.
Let me
share with you a meltdown right quick, and then we're gonna get off the air. I'm gonna let you go pick up Kyle. You gotta go. So the guy said, I was talking to the guy. He said, "Man, I ain't never seen nothing like this. When this was Logan Hall used to be in prison." when this was Logan Hall or halfway house, we ain't never let no white boys have a remote control. and every time I come in here, these white boys got the remote control listening to these old stupid rap videos. So he start throwing He started throwing chairs and pushing stuff around. I heard all this commotion, you know. So I went in there, and my man that I worked with, he had kind of calmed things down by the time I got there. But later on, you know, I talked to the individuals separately, right? The guys, white and the black. So the black guy was talking about these white guys, and the white guy was talking about, oh, he thinks it's because that he can push me around because of the color of his skin. Wait. Yeah. Now, that's where he threw me at. The white guy said, he thinks he can push me around because of the color of his skin. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something flipped around here. I'm missing something here. Right?
How does it feel to say that?
I said, damn. I said, so you know what? Let me back off of this because something's not clear. We need to get some stuff cleared up.
That's good.
Anyway, so they reconcile. Okay, John, listen, man. Take off, man.
All right. I'll get it up tonight.
It's been a great show. All
right. All right.
Thank you, John.
I'm glad Bree could join us.
I recorded it. Hey, John, one more question. How do I get the last shows over to YouTube? That's why I want all the shows YouTube.
Well, let's talk about that
later. Yeah, go ahead.
Later. Okay. All right.
All right, John.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.